So it is Christ the King Sunday. And we talk about the Book of Remembrance and that book that will be opened on the day when Jesus returns and the calling and the gathering of all who are His into eternal glory, into eternal life, and the joy and the gladness and everything else that goes along with that. And then along comes that gospel lesson. What a strange lesson for Christ the King Sunday. Takes us right back to Good Friday. What are we doing? What did those folks who planned the lessons for the year, what did they ever have in mind? But then you start thinking about it, and you think about exactly how did Jesus Christ win His kingdom? And there you are, right at the cross. Because in order to win His kingdom, He had to be willing to step into this world to take on Himself your sin, my sin. He had to be willing to carry us. And in the knowing of us and the seeing of everything that is in us and in all of those things, then the going to the cross with you and me in mind. And when you look at the cross, you see, strangely enough, how's that song go? There He hangs in strangest victory. When you look at the cross, you see, strangely enough, marks of a king. Because the entire world does obedience to Him and honors what He is doing. The sky turns black. The earth quakes. Tombs are rent. There on the cross, He's in charge. Oh, the Romans think that they're doing the crucifying, but they couldn't. They wouldn't be able to. They couldn't put a nail through the hands of Jesus if He did not allow and, in fact, welcome that. Now, the nails don't hold Him to the cross. He holds on to the cross and the nails, and as He does so, He holds on to you and me and everything that we are and everything that we need, and again, carries us into His kingdom. He is the one in charge. He says, Father, forgive them, absolving those around Him. He's in charge. And it's almost an image straight out of Matthew 25 that talks about the return of Jesus, where He separates the sheep and the goats. And you've got one thief on the one side and the other on the other side. And the one says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And then here's the promise of the king. Today you will be with me in paradise. He has the authority, He has the power to make that so. And so that thief enters into the kingdom of God right there where the kingdom is being brought into being. And then there's us. Marked in the same way, carried in the same way, hearing the same promises, invited by the same king. And you heard this, was it one or two Sundays ago, how he gathers His kingdom, His one soul at a time. And notice, with that thief on the cross, it really is one soul at a time. The individual attention, the individual focus, the call of each person. And the same Jesus who did that back then is still building His kingdom in the same way. And you know the truth of that because you know the words of Jesus. And you know when you hear the words of Jesus that you are hearing the words of the Savior, of the one who is God, and yet at the same time, the one who is your dearest friend. How many things do we call Jesus? Savior, Shepherd, Christ, Prince of Peace, our friend. He is everything to us. That's the sweetness of the kingdom of God. Sweetness of the kingdom of God is that we know the King who is at the same time our friend, who walks with us, who knows everything inside us, and deals gently with us, who really is a good shepherd, who is there to be the dearest of friends. And yet, that dearest of friends is also King of heaven and earth, Lord of eternity, commander of angel armies, with all the might and the power of God. So this friend of ours, who watches over us and is so near and close to us, is the one who decides how the universe will go, what the kingdom of God will be like. Nobody else. Nobody with imagination of how much power they have. No one else with their own system or scheme of how to do it right and how to be holy and sinless. No one else. Just simply this Jesus. It's fascinating that for Christ the King Sunday, that you get the inauguration of the kingdom of God on the cross, and the first one called into it is a thief. So Jesus does these kind of things to show that no one is too far from him. No one is so distant from God, so far having wandered off from what is true and what is right. No one is so distant that he cannot reach out and call them also. The pattern is that way all the way through his life. His birth in a stable, laying in a manger, his calling the outcasts, the lepers, the sinners, the tax collectors, and on and on and on it goes. Being crucified between two thieves, and then on Easter, he appears to those who, are trying really hard not to believe, and calls each one of them into his kingdom. And so it is with us. Back to the Old Testament. A book of remembrance. Yeah. I suspect that's why churches traditionally have these record books where we put name after name after name in them. Because the image of the book of remembrance runs through the whole Bible from beginning to end. From at least as early as Moses to at the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 20, Judgment Day, and the Lamb's Book of Life is opened, and all those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life belong to him. A book of remembrance. And remembrance means taking seriously, seeing, understanding everything that is in our lives. All of those things that we have gone through, all of the things that we will go through, God remembers. And all of those things then are what God walked with us through. Book of remembrance. Where he treasures the things that we have experienced, whether it is the faithful witnessing of the name of Jesus and telling others what he has done in our lives, or the difficulties of following him. All of those things remembered and treasured. Book of Remembrance written. And what does he say? They shall be mine. Putting his name on us, calling us his own, and saying, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and what Jesus is saying there to you is, he is saying, you are my treasured possession. And we're not going to get into it today, but that phrase, treasured possession, is another phrase that runs through the Bible. It is one of the ways that God talks about you. Now, how sweet is that? How sweet is it? Revelation chapter 21, first 7 or 8 verses, read it. Count how many times in those verses God says, now the dwelling of God is with man. They will be his. He will be theirs. I will be their God. They will be mine. Over and over and over he says this. And it all falls into that pattern of, you are treasured, you are loved by Jesus Christ. How sweet it is to know him and walk with him. In Jesus' name, amen.